Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Ifis first half 2020 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Luciano Colombini, CEO of Banca Ifis. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our call on first half 2020 results of Banca Ifis. Today, the board of directors, under the chairmanship of Mr. Ernesto Furtenberg, approved the first half results and the updated guidance for 2020. In the first six months of 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic, one of the worst crises in recent decades, Banca Ifis was profitable and reported a significant increase of its CET1. Net income came in at 37 million, having recorded 36 million pre-tax provisions and write-offs due to the COVID-19, in addition to 36 million provisions and write-offs. There are other direct and indirect impacts of COVID-19, mainly due to the slowdown of judicial and extrajudicial NPL workout. Including an estimate of these other direct and indirect effects, the preliminary estimate of impact of COVID-19 in first half is about 50 million euros pre-tax. CET1 of 11.58%, plus 62 basis points in half 2020. The CET1 is calculated excluding 2019 dividend, suspended in accordance with the Bank of Italy recommendation, and excluding the first half net income for prudent reasons. Also, we have to underline that we have stable deposit and funding base. In first half, we have accelerated our investment in technology and digitalization. We acquired Farbanca, which will be integrated into Credifarma, creating the market leader in Italian, and maybe in Europe, chemist sector. We continue to invest in NPLs. Since the beginning of the year, we have purchased about 1.3 billion NPLs in terms of GBV, which will provide a solid contribution to the bank's profitability in next year. The macroeconomic scenario will depend, obviously, on the evolution of COVID-19 and on the speed of the recovery of the production activities. The bank's economic and financial results will be closely linked to the evolution of the economic context. If we assume the progressive stabilization of the economic scenario, the support of governments and central banks to the economy, the absence of further lockdown periods, and for September, could operating at full capacity, we can estimate a 2020 net income between 50 million and 65 million, including the accounting of the badwill of Farbanca. Net banking income between 420 million and 440 million, and cost of credit between 85 million and 100 million. Under this scenario, in second half 2020, we expect an increasing contribution from NPL business for an entire quarter. There is already a visible ongoing recovery in NPL business. In July, cash recovery came in at 25 million, well above the monthly average of second quarter, it was about 70 million. In third quarter, in commercial and corporate banking, we expect a slightly declining net banking income due to lower volumes and margins. We expect a pickup in the fourth quarter as the market environment stabilize. In fourth quarter, we may record a potential asset quality deterioration in commercial, corporate, and non-core due to the expiring of the moratorium provided for Decree 18/2020, so-called Decreto Cura Italia. I am optimistic about the quality of our commercial corporate banking portfolio, summarized on page 8. The portfolio is short-term, well-diversified in terms of geography, sector, and company. This makes me positive about the future, obviously, if the economy stabilizes. I will hand over to Martino, who will describe the details of our second quarter 2020 results. Martino, please.
Hi, hello. I will keep it very short, just a key message, and then we'll go straight to Q&A. So in the second quarter 2020, we reported a net income of 10 million euros. Net banking income, 107 million euros. So we are almost flat quarter on quarter. I would like to stress that the net interest income includes 11 million provision on our non-performing portfolio. This is just to reflect, to prudently reflect a longer time frame for especially the judicial workout and slightly lower cash recovery for 2020 in extrajudicial. You know, it's a prudent, provision that we want to include. Then the trading income came in at 10 million euros, and this is a positive result achieved mainly in the trading of Italian government bonds short term. So with a duration between 2 and 2.5 years. So with a very low risk associated. In terms of loan loss provision, came in at 14.8 million euros. But just for accounting reason, we put 4.3 million in other net income expenses, that is a provision for a guarantee of former Interbanca. And we also expenses in the second quarter result 7 million for the voluntary exit fund. So we promised this in the business plan, and we are going to deliver despite COVID-19. And I think that one positive message that we want to pass is that also in the second quarter, net income at 10.3 million euros, despite 21 million provision pre-tax for the COVID-19. It's true that this includes PPA of 11 million euros, but it's also true that the provision accrued on former Interbanca loans account between 18-20 million euros, so above the PPA. Finally, message CT1, 11.58, 46 bips up quarter on quarter. And as the CEO was saying, this does not include 2019 dividends and the first half 2020 net income. I would like to stress also that if you move to page 12, we detail here the results. The provision and the potential impact of COVID-19 in the first half 2020. So there are 11 million provision that are included in lower net banking income due to COVID-19 just for prudent reason. Then there was a write-off of funds of ex-Interbanca that we recorded in the first quarter results of 7 million euros. Then there are about €17-18 million provision in a single interbank position. A total €36 million. However, this is just a, all the provision that we took in the first half 2020 related to COVID. Then there are other impacts, which are very difficult to estimate and assess. We try to make an assessment internally, and just to provide you a, an indication. And this came out at, let's say, the COVID-19 has an impact in the first half 2020 of at least 50 million euros. So 36 direct plus another 15 plus impact on the revenues due to the lower commercial activity. So we go about or above 50 million euros impact from COVID-19. Finally, I would like to pass the message, and you can see that on page 15. Again, stress the CET1, 11.58%, which is well above the SREP, which states at which stands at 8.12%, and so if you look at that, even during the hardship of COVID-19, we were able to increase the CET1 by 62 bips in just the first half 2020.
Okay, thank you, Martino. I'd like to say that we are already working on the new business plan that we will present to the market as soon as market conditions stabilize. Hopefully, in the end of November or at the beginning of December. Now, if you want, we will open the Q&A section. We are at your disposal.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Irene Rossetto with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello to everyone. The first question is on dividend, 2019 dividend. Some companies in the financial sector said that they will pay this dividend in 2021 in the form of an extraordinary dividend. Is this something that you can consider? Then if you can give us an idea what you expect in terms of NPLs gross collection in the end of this year and in 2021. And finally, if you can disclose the amount of Farbanca bandwidth included in your guidance for this year.
I answer about the dividend, and in accordance with the Bank of Italy recommendation on dividend policy, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, our board of directors decided to act by following the guidance provided by supervisory authorities. And therefore, propose that distribution of dividends for the 2019 financial year be postponed until 1st January 2021. So at that time, we will proceed to the payment after the date if no regulatory provision or the recommendation from the supervisor authorities will be issued against us. So I think we will be able to pay the dividend at the beginning of next year. Considering the strong position of our CET1, and the results of this year.
Irene, and in terms of Farbank badwill, we are speaking about 15 million euros. This is not taxable, eh? It's 15 net. You have to be clear.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of NPL's gross collection expectation, do you have some guidance, or is it still very uncertain?
No. In terms of the, let's say, the, if I understand correctly, in terms of the NPL business, we expect a recovery in the Q4. Let's say in the first two quarters of the year, we experienced a slowdown in recovery due to the lockdown. Okay? In the third quarter, so we remind that there is August, there is the summer break, so courts are closed for more than 1 month. So in the fourth quarter, if everything goes according to plan, normally, we'll have 1 quarter or full potential. What I would like to stress is that in the second quarter, let's say the average cash in from NPL was about 17 million euros, 17 and 19. And then 17, 19, and then in July, cash collection came in at 25 million euros. So it's quite positive in terms of let's say cash collection for the NPL business. That's what we can say. Of course, if everything goes fine, the revenues for the non-performing business will be higher in the second half than in the first half. But we don't want to provide any guidance because there are too many moving parts. That's why we provide a range. Other questions?
Next question. The next question is from Manuela Meroni with Intesa San Paolo. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. Some questions from my side. The first one is on the NPL business. I'm wondering if you are perceiving a different level of competition in the NPL area, if how are moving prices, and if you can confirm your 2.7 billion purchases in non-performing loans this year. The second question is on cost. I'm wondering if you are ready to provide us or to share with us your thoughts on the potential synergies with Farbanca, and the potential cost savings coming from the voluntary exit plan that you have just announced. Lastly, on the tax, you got some tax benefits in the second quarter. So I'm wondering if you can provide us with the guidance for full year 2020.
Okay. In terms of NPL purchases, let's say that we are acquisitive. We keep on buying and investing in this sector, which is core for us. We have done 1.3 billion since acquisition since the beginning of the year, and we will continue doing that.
Martino, this amount is about the 70% of unsecured portfolios on the market in first half of 2020. So we maintain our leadership in purchasing NPL unsecured portfolios. Sorry, Martino.
Yes. Let's say that there is, of course, we apply a little discount due to COVID-19, but the price in our segment, which is the unsecured, proved to be resilient. Then, of course, it depends on the type of the unsecured, but proved to be relatively resilient. There is competition, mainly from the Italian players, and so sometimes it happens that we lose some deals, but that's normal. In terms of Farbanca synergies, there are some synergies. We have not, they're not yet public. We will disclose them in the business plan. However, you know, the conclusion of Farbanca will be in in December, probably, let's say, the final part of the year. So this year, the 2020, will not be impacted by the synergies of Farbanca yet, at least materially. And I would like to stress that the second quarter includes a 7 million provision on the voluntary exits, and also the synergies that we can achieve from this will be in the business plan that we presented, but you can make an assessment based on our average cost of person. In terms of tax rate, the tax rate came in quite low, simply because we have some tax benefits. These tax benefits, due to ACE and due to accelerated depreciation, if the income is very, very low, this tax benefit has a significant impact. If the, let's say this tax benefit is value a few million euros, if the pre-tax profit is low, the tax rate came in very low. Of course, if you achieve a significant net income, the tax benefit in terms of euro will remain the same, but in terms of percentage will be very low. So we can assume that if we report let's say net income about this amount, you can see a low tax rate. Of course, as soon as you see the net income increasing, the tax rate will pick up again.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana with Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Luigi.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. Again, on taxes, I understand that the ACE benefit you booked in Q2. I would like to understand, first, if you quantify this amount of benefit, is it a one-off booked in Q2 and that's it, or do we have to expect additional tax breaks in the coming quarters? So this is the first question on taxes. The second one on capital. You had a one-off benefit on coming from the SME supporting factor in the quarter for about 30 bps. Do we have to expect additional benefits in the coming quarters, especially related to the realization of DTAs? You had 10 bps this quarter. What can we expect from additional DTAs by year end? The third question is on the restructuring costs. You booked 7 million in Q2. However, if I remember well, the total restructuring costs you had in your business plan were around 27 million. So do we have to expect additional provisions in the coming quarters on that front? And I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay. But first on the restructuring cost. Is it true? We had in the business plan slightly higher, I think twice as much. So instead of 8 million, I think 15 million for the voluntary exit. For now, you know, considering also the extraordinary of this year, we proceeded with, let's say, part of that. And we post 7 million euros for this voluntary exit. We didn't want it's a strange year, complex year, so we didn't want to have also a lot of people go in this time frame. Regarding the tax rate, I would like to stress this. It is not one-off. It is just a recurrent benefit that we have due to accelerated depreciation and ACE. I don't know, it's worth a few million, 2, 3, 4, I don't know, something like that. And as long as our pre-tax income remains low, this will lower the tax rate. Then you can have probably a tax rate, in the range of 20, but it really depends on the amount of net pre-tax profit that we will do. It is a benefit that we have, the value is limited to a few million euros, is recurrent. As long as it remains low, as the pre-tax income remains low, it absorbs all the taxes.
Okay, so if I understand well, it's between 2 and 4 million per quarter.
Yeah, more or less. 3 million, something like that. It's more, let's say, it's not material. Then I give you the exact number, but it's not material. It's just something that it's visible. As long as the net income, pre-tax income remains low, then of course is much less visible.
And regarding capital evolution,
just to give you an idea, my colleague is about 2.5 million per quarter, 5 million in the first half. Just to give you an idea, confirming the number.
Okay, so on capital evolution, the benefits of SME supporting factors, something additional in the coming quarters, and the DTA benefits?
Depends. This will depend on our ability to create, to report net income. And I hope that we can realize that. But it really depends on our net income generation. Not material, probably will not be so material in the second half, but of course we'll have a few million euros. But definitely, Luigi, I think that with a CET1 of 11.6, excluding any impact, in terms excluding 2019 dividends, excluding the first half 2020 net income, but probably we are in the safety side.
Yes, I mean, that's fine, and the trajectory is satisfying, just to understand how much it can be improved further, coming from those, non-operational elements. That's it. Thanks
probably
anyway.
Not so material, but a few, between 0 and 10 million euros, something like that.
Okay, fair enough.
The next question is from Andrea Lisi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hi, several questions from my side. The first one, if you can provide us more detail on your prudent provision you made on the NPL portfolio. I want to understand why do you have made them, which were the conditions that under which you put that provision, and what can we expect for for the coming quarters? And the second question is on what do you expect in terms of asset quality in the second half? Obviously, I think that a crucial moment will be when moratoria will expire. So if you can provide a bit more color on that. And the last point is on the evidence you have on cash collection in this month after the lockdown, and so which are your expectation cash collection of on NPL obviously for the second part of the year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. In terms of cash collection. Cash collection, if you look, came in, you have this on page 23, came in at 52 million euros in the second quarter. This, the gap is mainly in the gap in cash, the decrease in cash collection is mainly on the secured and corporate segment. Why? Because of the court shutdown. So it's normal that on the secure you have to go to an auction. Courts were shut down. Let's say auction were suspended. So we are recording a lower cash-in. I would like to stress that the average 52 million in the second quarter 2020, 25 million just in the month of July. So as soon as the courts restart and the activity progress more towards a sustainable level, we move back to normality also in cash collection. The second question is really a question mark and to which the CEO is very cautious and very focused on is the asset quality. You're right. Let's say it's a question that we have discussed quite at length. You can see that on our presentation. We put, some guidance on page 7. We expect a pickup in the loan loss provision, the default, once the moratorium ends, which I don't know if it is the 30th of September or will be postponed. And so we wanted to be transparent, and we provided a breakdown of our portfolio, of our commercial and corporate banking. And you can see that on page 8. Portfolio amounted to 5.2 billion euros, of which 0.8 is towards the public administration. Then there are other 0.2 of loans to SMEs, which are 80% guaranteed by the state. And then there is a 0.1 million factoring towards chemists, and there is 0.6 billion to which the debtors are either large or top Italian corporations, so with revenues above 500 million euros, which we can be relatively safe. For the other, which is the factoring, we have 1.4 billion euros, but the duration is very short, between 3 and 6 months. It's very diversified. We have 7.2 thousand customers with an average ticket of 200,000 euros. So let's say that we can be relatively safe. Also, in the leasing, the average duration is on average 4 years. It's very diversified in terms of number of customers, and we have remarketing agreement for the repossessed assets.
Anyway, if the end of moratoria will be postponed at the beginning of next year, for this year we don't expect so dramatic raise of the cost of risk. Very linked to the end of moratoria. We expect that at the end of moratoria, obviously, we see some more defaults than.
And finally, on your question on 11 million, it's a prudent adjustment we did on the net interest income / net banking income. It's just assuming slightly longer time frame for the recovery in terms of judicial workout and slightly lower cash recovery in 2020 in extrajudicial recovery and especially in secure and corporate. It's a prudent adjustment. We saw that also some other competitors did, like Hoist and Intrum. It's a prudent adjustment that is, seems to be, spread among other European players. So we want to be conservative.
Just a follow-up on the loan loss provision. I remember that in the previous quarters you often booked a significant loan loss provision on specific positions, large size positions, mainly referred to Interbank, if I'm not wrong. Can you tell us which is the amount of or the number of big tickets, big position you have referred to Interbanca that do you see more at risk? Thank you.
I can see this. We cannot, the portfolio of Interbanca is large tickets. So it's not that we can say that we are at risk. There are some positions which are more at risk or less at risk. Otherwise, we have to do provision. What I would like to stress is that in last year, there are 30 million provision of the ex-Interbanca. And this quarter, in the first half, there are about 80 million position on former Interbanca. And I think the CEO, and then you can, is very focused on that and is very focused on decreasing the, the concentration risk.
Very clear, thank you.
The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon. Well, most of my questions have been answered, but I would like if you could take a bit more time on slide 5, that is very interesting. So my question is on loan loss provisions. The range that you give, I've understood that assumes the end of the moratoria in September. So this is the first question, if I understood correctly. My second question is, do these level of provisions cover the total amount expected? I mean, do you expect in 2021 further heavy provisions, or which is your feeling on this point? And finally, on the last point of the slide, the impact of Sarbanca badwill in P&L. So if you could be more clear, before you said 15 million after tax, so the range of net income includes 15 million after tax of benefit from Sarbanca. Is that correct? Thank you.
Yes, it's correct. This includes the badwill of Sarbanca. And talking about the provisions, is strictly related to the end of moratoria. So the moratoria ends at the end of September. We expect more provisions. Otherwise, if moratoria will end at the end of January of next year, we expect a raise of the cost of risk in 2021. I think the moratoria is something like a cover over some NPL which are not clear at the moment, but there is something not predictable at the moment.
So you would expect 2021 to be like a
normal year?
Worse than 2020. Worse. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from Nicolas Binda with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one is on trading income. I was wondering if you have some other realized gain embedded in your government portfolio. And the second one is related to Farbanca. Do you confirm the negative impact on CET1 ratio of around 20 basis points? Thank you.
Yes, we confirm that. But I have to say that the ongoing of Farbanca in this year is better than expected. We are talking about something like half a million more than we expected, so we are very confident that this acquisition is a good acquisition, and at the moment the bank is in a good sector. The chemist sector is obviously a sector which doesn't suffer so much for pandemic and COVID-19. So this is also. And the other question?
The other question is on the trading gain. No, let's say we don't have embedded the capital gain on our portfolio, but you can see our proprietary portfolio on page 31 of the presentation. It's government bonds, let's say more than 90% government bonds. It's short term, so you have 2.4 years, low risk, and we make good profit on that. That's so with relatively low risk, we report a good profit that helped us this year, in the past two quarters. Low risk and short term. You can see on page 31 all the maturity, etc.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you very much, everybody, and see you at the presentation of the new business plan, maybe. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.